Just making sure.
Just double checking.
I have no notes. I have no notebook.
Not you all right over there? You okay? You all right? Yeah. We're good. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio right here in Mattawan, New Jersey. Your hosts, of course, Sturch and Gooch, and, of course, behind the proverbial fake glass. I tried to combine it at once. Is Dina the Pick Bish Simpson. She's joining us as well. We hope you guys are good to go. It is Tuesday, January the 4th, 2021. We hope you guys are safe and healthy and all that good shit that goes with living your everyday life. So lots to talk about, but first and foremost, congratulations are in order to Joe LaCorey, our boy Joe, who played on our softball team. He's a great supporter of Chop Sports. Who better than to win the Chop Sports Super Bowl? That's right. 32 teams competed, technically 16 and 16. Scoop Espo was one rep. The other rep was Joe LaCorey. He outscored him by like 4 points. So that came down to the wire. Deontay Johnson, not enough for Scoop Espo. And
Did have that late target that gave him a little bit of hope, but it didn't work out. I was in a similar situation for some third place money scoop. So I feel your pain.
My jaw just dropped to the floor. Joe LaCorey checking in, saying fantasy football QB1 checking in because he just won the championship. But my brother, ladies and gentlemen, my brother is here. And the reason why I'm excited about this is because of the fact, first, A, congratulations, Danny. He officially won the championship. It's his first title in 17 years of running our home league. First championship.
I did call it when I looked at the rosters from the gate. I have nothing to do with this league, other than the fact that I understand that it's archaic and that the scoring is very, very outdated. But I looked at the rosters and said, Danny's going to win right away, without blinking.
And the Gooch-Stradamus was right.
But I'm going to say that's the only thing I got right this entire fantasy season, because I did not win any of the leagues. Danny? Yeah, Danny, you helped my fantasy acumen, because my teams sure as hell didn't.
QB2 is also here, Scoobaloop. So he's the loser of that game. It's hilarious. But the reason why I was so surprised is because earlier this morning at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, my brother was the recipient of a brand new, ladies and gentlemen, squeaky clean, brand new, shiny, new ACL. So he got his ACL repaired this morning.
I said, get well soon, bud.
Yeah, man. It's gonna be a road. I've done it, so I'll be there as his ACL liaison, as Jimmy Palumbo would say. You know, somebody with experience of knowing that road ahead. I did it in the ring at practice. So my ACL construction, when I say in the ring, yes, once upon a time, I was a professional wrestler. Go figure that one out. All that fake stuff, and I tore my ACL doing it. But I say that because I was training to get back and rehabbing to get back into the ring. Danny's just needs to get back to work. So his recovery is going to be a lot shorter than mine, and he's a lot tougher than me. I'm bitch made.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that. Yeah. I will definitely co-sign that one.
I won't even get into the how it happened. Well, obviously, everybody knows how it happened by now. Thanksgiving Day football. So he gave it up to the football gods of Thanksgiving Day. So congratulations to Danny and his new ACL. So get well soon, and I'll probably see you after work today. Anyway, before we get going, as always, I do want to plug our Patreon. So if you want to support Chop Sports right now, I'm talking right to you, Joe LaCorey, with your new winnings. And I'm talking to James Rube, who last night, bro. James Rube. First of all, context, James Rube once upon a time hosted Hoops with Rube, which was a podcast on our network. Great kid. I forget, how did we meet him?
It was through Chop Sports. He kind of reached out, I think, and maybe there was a Grosso thing.
No, there was somebody else. Somebody else said, like, you got to talk to this kid. He knows too much, blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, cool. So we brought James Rube on, right? James Rube last night. Now, he always talked to us about being a daily fantasy guy. Loves daily fantasy. He would show me, like, 1,300, and like one time I think it was like $3,000. I'm like, wow, this kid is really good at what he does, right? Last night, James Rube won $250,000 on DraftKings.
That's King. $250,000 cookie.
$250,000 on daily
fantasy. I absolutely love seeing things like that. Oh, absolutely love great. It. I don't know if this was a daily fantasy thing. I think this might have been best ball. I'm not sure, because looking at the roster, he had Hockenson in his lineup. And I think what it is you pick a team for the year.
It was best ball.
And it stuck there. And he accumulated points throughout the year because you can't make any changes.
Oh, so it's technically season long?
It is season long. Oh, I think in this particular game, it's season long. I'm not quite sure. I'm not like the most in-depth guy with best ball and how it all works. I'm sure there's different variations of leagues. But looking at the roster, I was like, that's not a daily fantasy thing.
Because Hockenson was in the lineup. He would have never put him in. Exactly. Unless he was running out of money and you put in a $0.
But I'll tell you what, that team that he had.
Stacked. Burrow, Chase and Burrow. Chase pretty and much Burrow, paired him all year round.
Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah,
and,
dude.
And
how do you not
AB.
Win?
He won AB. AB, if it wasn't for AB, he probably wouldn't have won that title. AB throwing up the deuces, giving James Rube a $250,000 cookie.
Unbelievable. But anyway, to be honest with you, yes, health and fitness professionals will be fixing my brother up. So that's right there. Dr. Sean Basinger and his staff, Katie, Brian, all those guys over there. Definitely give him a shout out to those guys. He'll get it back. Look at this. To come full circle, coached Rube in high school. Tough ass kid. Happy to hear he won. Yeah, man. He absolutely cleaned up last night, and congratulations to him. So I'm talking to him when it comes to Patreon as well. For as low as $3 a month, you can help Chop Sports get to the next level. We appreciate that. There are different tiers where you'll get percentages off of our merchandise. You'll get VIP access to our events, which, again, 2022, I plan on going full bore on going to every bar known to man to do some kind of live something. You know what I mean? Like, Chop Sports will be on the road. We're going to have a road team. Dina's going to be our roadie. She's just going to be carrying all our shit, you know? Like, we're just going to be there like, where's my mic?
How about this? Even if we don't do live events where we're on the mic, we just do events for specific things. Like, if there's a Super Bowl party or a draft party, things like that. It doesn't have to necessarily be us calling the show.
That's true.
But us being there and having a good time and having some team building and things like that.
I'm with it. I'm with
that. You know what it is.
But yeah, you'll get VIP access to that with a $10 thing. So there's so many ways to do it. Please go over there and do that. Now, as I... talk about Patreon. There's also, being that it's the new year, okay, we do have a podcast network, which is adding three shows. And within the next 2 weeks, we're going to be adding three more shows to our podcast network. It's kind of how this whole thing started. It was us, and then it was Jimmy, and then it was Rube. Rube was one of the early guys. And then there was a couple other guys that started right off the rip, Squeaky Bum Time, the soccer podcast. Those guys all came on early, in which there was a lot of interest in advertisements. So we've had multiple advertisers come in and out of Chop Sports. I mean, from the start, we had, transportation. Oh, what the hell was
LVC Transport?
That's it. LVC Transport. That was Chris Romano. Like, we've had guys come in and out, but we also have had people stick with us throughout the whole thing. Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude. He literally now rents office right next door.
Yeah, but as of the first, ladies and gentlemen, we are a clean slate.
We are a clean slate right now. So if you're looking to advertise your small business, be sure to hit me up, hit Chris up. We have packages for everything. So basically, you'll have commercials. If you're watching this right now, you actually see the Flipping Made Easy logo in the corner of your thing. So that's another way to advertise. We also have our website. We also have, there's just so many avenues. Hit us up. Get involved with Chop Sports the right way. 2021, we're playing for keeps. That's my advertisement plug. So we're coming back. And speaking of coming back, with a little bit of a comeback story. I don't know how exciting this is for me, because I can completely care less about this, but Kyrie Irving is back tomorrow night for the Nets. Now, this is a road game, right?
Yeah, obviously, he's not playing any home games.
Which is,
Dave, you did it.
Do you ever think in a million years that this kind of contract would be a thing?
Yes.
You really did before pandemic?
No. Before the pandemic, I didn't think it, but as the pandemic was playing out and when this whole situation was playing out with Kyrie before the season started, I definitely thought that there was a chance, because what are you going to do? Because of the way the pandemic is playing out, right now Kyrie is like a healthy, really good option for the Nets, who are depleted. And every team in the NBA has been depleted with the COVID protocols and guys in and out of lineups and just the NBA in general, the way the rotations work. You need a guy like Kyrie, and if he could be there on road games, then yes.
The rotation. Scoop's coming in saying the Nets needed Durant and Harden getting tired. Well, that's because Harden's 440 pounds, so that's why he gets tired.
You said that you're not that excited about it. You all know that I've been the biggest Kyrie guy since Duke, which is a big lie. I hate Kyrie Irving, but I'm very excited about Kyrie
Irving. Kyrie's going to spin right off this flat earth, isn't he?
I'm excited for Kyrie to come back, because I, right now, need content. As I look forward into February.
Don't do it, man.
And March,
right? Don't do it. Don't do it.
What I look forward to is the NFL season is going to end.
No, it's not.
And I need a lightning bolt, and that lightning bolt is Kyrie, because I could play off of Kyrie, and I'm going to use the Kyrie I guess the pulse of how Kyrie is going. And I'm going to I always keep it consistent. I've been on Kyrie's side throughout the whole vaccination situation. I do believe that Kyrie has some great points. That said, I don't like Kyrie. I think he's a cancer to the team. And him coming back, while it will help on the court, it won't help in terms of the locker room, I don't think. And I think the Nets are going to just
implode. I just can't get over the fact that the Nets are going to do this. But I guess when desperate times call for desperate measures, man.
Yeah, bro, what are you going to do in the NBA right now? You're going to sign a guy to a 10-day contract?
I wonder whose idea this was.
You got Kyrie out there just waiting to play games on the road. It's like, all
right. Do you think the GM of the Nets or one of the scouts or whoever – Sean Marks, isn't he British? He's a little British, I think. He's something extra.
Anyway. I'm sure he played on the Mavericks. Maybe that doesn't mean he's not British.
I mean, he's definitely foreign. I mean, not foreign. Is that a word? Like, I know foreign's a word, but
yes,
I mean, like,
Dave, foreign is a word. I'm looking up Sean Marks.
I don't think of British as foreign because they speak English. I guess that's the thing I'm looking for. In any event, he'll be only able to play. Wait a minute, I'm saying he'll be able to play at home in April. Why is that, Scoop? So is that a thing? Because is there a rule change?
I guess maybe like the elections happen, like something with the election,
and where they no longer care about COVID.
I have no idea. I don't know if that's an actual thing. Is Sean Marks?
Oh, so just in time for the playoffs, he thinks regulations will change.
He is from New Zealand.
All right, so he's not British, but he's whatever the New Zealand accent is. What?
Kiwis.
Also, they're Kiwis?
Also, Sean
Marks.
Like
the fruit?
No, Kiwi is like, that's what Israel Adesanya is. He's like, that's like.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, in any event, Kyrie Irving is back. The Nets are, I'm sure the fans are very excited about this. He is a halfway player right now. He's probably getting half his salary right now, I'm assuming. Like, there's not, like, he's not getting full pay for this. Right? I mean, you can't.
I don't know.
There's no way. There's no way, bro. There's no way.
I don't know. I mean, for
God, if he beat the system like this, Kyrie Irving 1, NBA 0. Well,
it's Kyrie 1, NBA 0 regardless at this point.
Because
he wasn't
getting
anything last week, and now he's about to be at least getting half. And he had a staring contest with the Nets in the NBA, and guess who came calling?
He fought the law and the... Kyrie won.
Kyrie has like kind of, I wouldn't say he's come out and changed his stance. He definitely didn't change his stance, but he's like talking back his words a little bit where he's saying that he's not anti-vax. He's never been anti-vax. He just is doing this for the people. And I mean, like, he does have good points. You don't agree?
Bro, do you realize what's happening right now in the world?
Yeah.
Like, people were fired for not being vaxxed, and now they're letting people work with COVID. So I don't want to hear it. Like, he's going to change his tune because everybody else has changed their tone.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, but he really hasn't. He kind of hasn't changed his tune.
Well, he said he did.
No, I'm saying like he was saying like he wasn't prepared. Like he knew it was going to come, but he didn't exactly understand like the scope of how bad it was going to get for him over the last couple months. And Aaron Rodgers could attest to that too.
Oh, I knew Aaron Rodgers would have to be somehow, some way.
So there Kyrie now.
Yes. So big 12 fan over here is big fan of 11 now. Anyway, so moving on. Who else? There's somebody else coming back. That's right. Big play. Klay coming back to Splashtown, right? I mean, last night, we watched the Warriors kind of do their thing, and you were up very late talking to Kyle back and forth about the Warriors. Or was that this morning?
That was late.
Okay, I didn't check the timestamp. I did text you after midnight about the Rube thing because I couldn't hold that. I was like, dude, like, what just happened here? Watched somebody win $250,000.
No, Kyle,
we know him.
Kyle thinks that I'm just going to die on this Steph Curry is the best player in the world hill. I said this. Look, it was 20 games into the NBA season, and we had a conversation before the show, and we were talking about, like, damn, what are we going to talk about today? I looked at the NBA standings. I was like, the NBA is about a quarter of the way through. Let's do quarter of the way marks and talk about who the best player in the world is right now. And at that time, it was Kyrie. I mean, it was Steph. Definitely wasn't Kyrie. But
for a second, it drifted off.
Kyle tuned into that episode, and he heard me gargling Steph's balls, I guess. So he decided that he was going to attack me every single time Steph missed a three-pointer, which has been a lot lately, unfortunately.
So ever since he broke the record, he just can't hit threes anymore?
Not that. He just shot bad yesterday, and the Warriors still won. So that's his thing.
Did they win by 10?
He's saying that when Steph plays bad, the Warriors still win because he's saved by a great defense. Now, maybe that's the case in some games, but there's been a lot of games where
defense as a whole, not Curry's defense.
No, well, that's what I say in return to that. But like, Steph got them clamps.
Steph is the best two-way player
in the world. No, he's not.
Yeah, but pause.
The point that Klay Thompson has a chance to be when he comes back.
Well, this kid, I feel like Klay's been out for like 4 years.
Yeah, he's been out for 2 years. But look, even Klay Thompson coming back to this Warriors team, if he's a shell of himself and he's not a great perimeter defender, which he used to be, arguably one of the best in the league, if he just posts up and does like the mellow corner threes thing on that team, just add another shooter to that team. It just makes them more dangerous. He doesn't have to come in and do too much. They're already kind of an NBA contender right now. They're, I guess, third as far as Vegas is concerned.
In the West?
Who's going to win?
Or overall?
Overall.
Oh, wow.
About who's going to win the whole thing. Maybe even higher than that right now, but the last time I looked, it was third. Klay Thompson coming back. What do you expect out of him early?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be just a... I think right now, like when he first starts and gets on the court, he's not going to be Mr. like, you know, score a bunch of points. Like, he's going to be a guy that you have to pay attention to. Like,
yeah,
he's
that's what I'm saying.
Like a decoy at first. Like, let him get his facilities going. And then
he's not, he didn't forget how to shoot the three.
No, because
you watched him in warmups the other day. He hit like 39 billion threes in a row.
Right.
I know it's warmups, but still, it just showed me like Klay Thompson still got a shot.
Yeah.
Markelle Fultz isn't hitting 38 threes in warmups, or I think it was actually 28.
Jordan Poole is balling.
I agree. Jordan Poole, that's what I'm saying.
That's coming like, from Stimmy OG.
When Klay Thompson comes in right now, he doesn't have to go in there and be this big, important factor for the Warriors. He could go in there, get like 16 minutes, kind of ease his way back into the rotation, and then come playoff time, if he's healthy, because that's the other thing here. You know, Klay Thompson is an all-world player, but like you said, he hasn't really played in 2 years.
Do you think...
ACL?
Was it both?
Both.
Holy shit. All right. I was going to say, do you think... NBA, the sport of basketball, might be the hardest to come back from an ACL injury? Because, I mean, bro, you talk about shifty shiftersons. You know what I mean? Like, they go,
I think so to some degree.
Like, football receivers, fine. Like, you got to be shifty.
I think it
depends. If you're a lineman, just get upright.
It depends on a lot. But the NBA season is a grind, man. I don't think people understand what it's like. People think that the NBA is soft. It's anything but soft. It really is. It's just stopped, dude.
I mean...
You know, but go play.
It's just changed, is what I'm saying. It's just changed. The toughness of these players have changed. You got to admit that. The 90s... basketball was different. Guys were built different.
No,
people were getting elbowed in the eye socket and staying in the game.
But sit there and tell me that guys, like to a man, men are tougher then than now because the rules are different. Like if the rules were the same in the NBA, the NBA players would still be playing in it because that's where they're going to get paid. Do you understand that, right? Like it's the commissioner, it's the refs, it's the way things are being called. That's what's not tough about the NBA. It's the way that coaches are coaching.
Fine. Because look,
if
the rules were the same, then I would assume that LeBron might even be better, you know, because then he can body up and just literally use his frame.
As a LeBron
and I hate
hater,
LeBron, right? I
understand,
don't like LeBron.
Like LeBron would be a bully if he played in the 80s.
And anybody out there who's saying that LeBron wouldn't be an all-world tight end, you're silly because he does stack up to the intangibles and the athletic ability, and he would probably be really good. I watched him playing in high school. Like, the kid had ability. So it's not like, you know, would he make it in the NFL? I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know about all that.
We don't have to get into that because that's a whole ass conversation.
You know what league he might make? I did not write this down, but I saw the announcement last night that the XFL is 365 days away from training camp in 2023. The Rock took the Instagram last night.
I have never been excited about a single extra football league.
CFL's coming back? No, the USAFL. Yeah, USFL is coming
like
back.
Like I said, I just have never, like all the time, I'm just
to
like,
me,
I
you know
barely
what that
watch
means?
College football because I don't have time. I don't have time to watch.
Well, here's the reason why I'm excited about extra football. One, I love football, right? So like football is my favorite sport. Not even close. There's literally nothing that holds a candle to football to me. Even that, and we'll get into it, the Big Ben stuff like had me emotional last night, and I hate the Steelers. Like, not even hate the Steelers. My dad hates the Steelers. Like, the old school Cowboy fans hate the Steelers. They never did anything to me. We beat the piss out of them in the Super Bowl. I don't care. You know, like, Steelers are nothing to me. But last night was emotion. XFL, USAFL, or USFL, whatever the hell's coming back. I find, like, these tinier leagues, right? That might be beneficial to people like us, is what I'm saying. Like, if we could get, like, a big tailgate to go to the Guardians game, that might make news. Like, we're smaller scale. We right now, as Chop Sports, smaller scale.
So if anybody out there has 200 free tickets to the Guardians
game. Well, I'm just saying, we can relate.
I understand what you're saying.
That's like the McAfee show showing up to an NFL game. They're going to get attention because that's the Pat McAfee show. But if Chop Sports shows up to the Guardians home opener, like, we might get some press. And I think if we cover it, if we had an XFL podcast... Bro, like, if people want to kneel, like, go knee deep. My boy Shrieks, the big Jet fan that he is, we were so hardcore on the Guardians when they first came out that we went to the home opener. I tailgated with Ray Gross, right? We had a great time. It was, like, football quality. Yeah, fine. It did hit. But now The Rock's running it. So now I feel like you're going to get those hardest working
All
kids.
All I'm talking about is...
As I'm looking at Klay Thompson, I'm sorry.
The talent isn't going to be there. Like, there's going to, if the talent level just isn't good enough, and there's the CFL is a little bit better. I don't know.
But think about it. Because, look, the NFL only allows 52 plus a practice squad, right? And then there's only 32 teams in the league. So those are the only jobs that are available. You're telling me that, like, oh, let's just arbitration 1,000 players. You're telling me that 1,001st player doesn't really deserve to be on an NFL team? Like, he might.
But when we're talking about practice squad and things like that, it gets a little bit bigger.
I'm saying everybody. Like, just say there's 1,000 players. I know there's more. 1,000 players on all the NFL teams and the XFL team. I mean, and the practice squad.
I get what you're saying. I definitely understand what you're saying. In terms of for other guys to get paid playing football, cool. I don't think it's got much entertainment value for me personally as a fan. I just don't. I have a hard time.
I would love for them to just change your tone based off of just like you'll watch a couple games and like, wow, okay,
cool. My eyes will be open for a little bit.
Right.
And I'll give them a chance. But at the end of the day, if I don't have an investment in it personally, it's hard. It's just hard for me to care. Maybe I'll start gambling on some of the games and then we could start talking, Dave. You know, a little extra bonus football. You give me some point spreads. And then,
of course
then
you'll be able to gamble in these games.
Then I'm good. Then let's
you
do
don't
it.
Think the Rock is a genius?
No, I understand.
Like, a business mogul.
I understand, but I'm not going to be out here. I'm not going to be out here being a fan of the XFL.
The only good thing to come in extra football was that giant beer cup snake. Good call, Carl. What I agree.
All right. Who's the giant beer cup snake?
It's when from the top deck to the bottom deck, they did a whole snake of cups, and then they just poured it all the way down, like, from the top. It was something that the crowd, like, look, the crowd got more into it than the game did. But look, national broadcast picked that up. People found out about that thing real quick.
It's like the parallel in the NFL that the minor league baseball has, where it's kind of just a gimmicky
Scoop
thing.
Scoop is owed $800 or $700 based off of fantasy football. Scoop, if you want to buy a season ticket, that's probably what they're going to cost for the whole season for like 15 tickets. So you can probably go out there and do that for us. That'd be great. That would be your contributions to Chop Sports outside of the bottle of vodka that I've been chugging every other night. The sauce has the ticket up for the XFL. See, that's hilarious. I'm telling you, that's going to be a thing.
You want to talk about rigged football? We're talking about The Rock and the XFL and like Vince McMahon.
The Rock only turned heel like 15 times in his career, so you never know.
I'm just saying, coming from the sports entertainment industry, he might be.
You want to know who might be playing in the XFL? Our boy that we talked about yesterday, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is still with the Bucks as of right now.
Tverdov. I was like, all right, then we'll get behind it.
Listen. It could, right? You never know. But, all right, Antonio Brown, still in the league, still on the Bucks. The Bucks have verbally said, we're done with you, right? But they have not filed any paperwork. They haven't done anything. Do you think Tom Brady is?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a lot of people are saying that there's some legal issues going on. I'm
not
saying,
legal,
like,
it's just like there's red tape.
Like, Tom Brady might kill Bruce Arians if he releases Antonio Brown.
The fact that he doesn't have God.
That might be the reality of the situation here. Because we all know what Tom Brady's in this for, right? And I don't think that there's anything to be. I'm not bashing Tom Brady for that. Like, yes, it's week 17, week 18. We're depleted at wide out. Right now, if you take Antonio Brown off that roster, it's Mike Evans and a bunch of guys that I've never heard of.
But according to Antonio Brown, he was hurt. So what's the point?
Well, according to Antonio Brown, he was hurt as far as what the media says. But according to what Bruce Arians said, that he asked him, okay, what's the matter? and he just wouldn't answer him. So he wouldn't disclose where he was hurt. They were saying it's an ankle thing, but when you're hurt in the NFL, you seek treatment.
Bro,
so
he you go to the blue tent. Skipped off the field.
I get it.
There's no injury.
There's
folks.
People trying to make excuses and say that I've had a knee injury that you could put weight on it, you could skip on it, but.
No,
all well and good.
No.
I don't want to hear it from the internet doctors.
Yes,
if he was injured, go to the blue medical tent, get treatment, get diagnosed.
And then get ruled out. And then go to the locker room because you're ruled out.
But the thing is, the same people that are saying, oh, he was injured, he was too injured to go in, were the very same people that were coming out with the tweet saying that the Bucks held him out because they were trying to not give him his incentives.
Right.
Which in fact, it was the complete opposite. They wanted him to go in the game. Now, just judging by the way the Bucks have operated the last two seasons, do you really think that they're trying to save $1 million? Or do you think they're trying to win a Super Bowl?
They've spent more money than any other team in the NFL.
That's just the dumbest outlook on things or the dumbest idea that I've seen. Just because those are facts that he is, I think if anything, it kind of lets you into the mind of AB where he just gets weird, man. And I understand the mental health thing. We're not going to touch on this again because we did the whole thing yesterday, but
which we got ripped apart.
I think that there's a very good chance that you see AB playing as early as this weekend.
Do you want to hear a bold, stupid prediction that's probably not going to hold any weight, but it probably has no bearing? If, for whatever reason, if the Bucks finally do part ways with him, and I'm assuming that that's going to happen, right? They're going through the motions right now. He could be detrimental to the team. They could have all the loopholes they need to get out of that contract, and now nobody has Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was spotted at the Nets game yesterday. Zach Wilson needs a wide receiver number one. Could you see Antonio Brown in New York?
No.
No?
No, because Antonio Brown is not going to go to a team to win 6-10 games or 6-8 games, possibly. I'm giving the Jets a lot of credit for next season.
Yeah, well,
right?
The Jets have a lot of money.
The Jets have a lot of money, but Antonio Brown is not at an age right now, and there's a lot of receivers that are going to be coming available in the next year or two where if you want to spend that money, it's not going to be on a cancer like Antonio Brown. No. It's a hard no on that.
I know a personality like him probably couldn't fit the mold in New York. I just feel like all of a sudden when he's running off the field yesterday and they're giving him a standing ovation or whatever they're doing out there at MetLife, that he might feel some sort of way where he's like, wow, the New York people, they know what I'm going through, but they cheered me anyway.
A lot of people at MetLife had no idea what was going on. They just saw a guy streaking in the middle of the fucking play. It was like when you look at the background shot.
Do you think he asked anybody at KFC?
When you look at the background shot, Tom Brady's like huddling up his offense and they're trying to call plays. Like the football game was going on. It wasn't like some weird, it wasn't in between plays. Like, I mean, I guess it was, but. You get it?
Yeah,
like
no,
that,
I know.
They could have thrown a flag for an extra man on the field. They could have done whatever they wanted at that point.
I'm aware.
They kind of
I know. I'm trying to think. Sean Basinger was the only one on the Chop Sports Media Instagram poll to vote yes, that he's going to find another home one day. Like, everybody else said, not a shot, right?
Well, I think that if there's anybody that would pick him up, it would be the Rams right now. If say he got put on waivers, which they're not going to do for that reason, most likely. If they are gonna cut him, it's not gonna be until the after the season because there's no real reason to.
I'm saying, does he play in the league again? Without any help, without any guidance, he gets released from the Bucks because of this.
I'm gonna go ahead and say yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because talent outweighs almost everything in the NFL, bro.
Yeah, but
there was a time where things were a lot worse. Like what he did on Sunday really isn't that crazy as far as AB is concerned. It's just really not.
In the public eye?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's been a lot of shit that we've heard or read about AB that we have not seen.
Like, let's think about the saga that went down before last season, right, where he was with the Raiders and the cryotherapy and his frozen feet, frostbit feet, practicing, not practicing, calling Mike Mayock a cracker, which turns out...
Might be a cracker.
Might be a cracker. But, yeah, the whole AB saga, the way he left Pittsburgh, you want to say... that he's not going to play because he ran off the field? Possibly, but I don't know, man. I think talent outweighs a lot, and situational needs outweighs a lot. You know, when you need a receiver, and there
it's
is
just
none,
funny that you say the Rams. Can you imagine OBJ and AB on one team? Oh, my God. Stafford would freaking run out of town faster than anybody.
And they would still get eliminated by Green Bay.
Okay. Randy Moss left the field in the middle of a play once. Yeah, see, I don't buy that. I don't remember that at all.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, in the middle of a play?
That was, I think, Raiders Randy Moss, too. That's what got him traded to New England for a seventh-round pick.
Scoop, Antonio Brown to Vaught University, confirmed. Anyway, Antonio Brown still on the roster. That remains to be seen, but what?
I just want to say that the reason why, if it's not because they're going to keep him, like Tom Brady's in the front office this year, it's probably because of them not wanting anybody to pick him up, so they'll just suspend him for the final week of the season and then
with pay?
Not put him on the playoff roster. Yeah, either way, pay, no pay. I just think that it's not really a money thing with Tampa right now. It's,
I'm so silly. He is making money on Cameo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shout out to Big Ben.
Shout out to Big Ben. He gives a shout out to Big Ben on Cameo. So somebody literally... So technically, if you think about it, there might have been an offbeat reporter for either Pittsburgh or just a super fan or whatever. Instead of saying, like, hey, can you say happy birthday to my nephew? You know, like, he instead said, can you give a shout out to Ben Roethlisberger on his career? And that's what he did. He was like, oh, shit, $200? I guess I got to do this Cameo for the back of an Uber.
He didn't sound like a crazy person.
He did not. But that's what scares me, bro. That's what scares me about this guy, that all of a sudden he went from all the way up here to all the way here.
I mean, I don't recognize...
I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose, but I'm just
truth,
saying.
The truth of the matter is I don't recognize any of his behaviors to be scary. I recognize them as being behaviors that are conduct... It's conduct detrimental to the team. Like, that's literally what it is. But he's not out here scaring people. He's farting on doctors' faces, but he's not fucking robbing people. He's not beating... I don't know if he's beating his girl or not. There has been speculation. But besides that, like, AB doesn't seem like a scary piece of shit guy. He's just a douchebag.
Did Gooch listen to his rap song yet? Scoop was asking.
Yes, of course.
Was it good? Any good? No. Better than Shaq?
What?
Come on, I know you're a big Shaq guy. You're a big Shaq fan.
Shaq drops bars.
But anyway, last night... Oh, wait, hold on. You're telling me the Eagles wouldn't try to reach out to Brown that just made the playoffs?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think, I don't know if the Eagles would... Because I just don't think that necessarily fits. But I do think that the Rams possibly would, with Robert Woods being out now. And, 100%. I do think so. At least one team would. And if one team didn't want him because they wanted him, there's a potential that a playoff team would add him just so somebody else that they might have to match up against didn't. That happens.
So, right, they're playing keep away with Antonio Brown at this point. There's not going to be a team that signs him because he won't be available. But the Bucs are holding on to him for dear life, so... I don't know. Maybe there's something more to the story that we're not knowing. Maybe there is a reconciliation. Maybe there is a Tom Brady factor.
Yeah, that's
could be a lot. There could be a lot.
I think is the most likely
scenario. But we went from the most bizarre thing we've ever seen to him possibly suiting up in the first round of the playoffs.
And like, but the reality is, and we're guilty of this too, is like there's always the overreaction, right?
Yeah, of course. And yesterday was Monday.
You heard Tom Brady after the game. He wasn't like, fuck AB. You know, he was like, look, we got to support AB in this time. Like, he's coming. Sleeping home tonight, which is like, I think it's Tom Brady's house.
Yeah, it's actually Brady's house, so yeah.
I don't know if that's still a thing, but...
He knows the code to the back door.
They're buddies. I don't think Tom Brady wants to see AB leave town just yet.
Well, speaking of football, there was a game last night, and we all had to sit through it because it ultimately was a bad game of football until, you know, the story here was obviously Big Ben. We'll get into that in a second. But another story that needs to come out and be on the forefront of this is the Browns lose to the Steelers 26-14 last night, or in Dina's case, 14-26, which she was given the AJ warning. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever say the lower score first.
Noted.
Dina has taken notes, and she's making sure she doesn't do that. We did say that we almost fired AJ over that because he was like doing his, what we called it? Just a sports minute? When he was doing like baseball scores, he was like, the Rays lost to the Tigers 10-11. And I'm just like, what the fuck is he doing? But anyway, AJ, we miss you, buddy. But AJ was not a fan of Baker Mayfield last night, and neither was any Browns fan. Can you justify him getting a big payday at this point? Because that's what he's due. He's due for a payday. So he is.
Nah, Baker's done in Cleveland, I think.
That's a bold statement, dude. That's a bold statement.
I don't think he might be not be done after this year, but no, they're not going to.
No, I'm saying his contract's up, dude.
It's up, then he's done.
I think it's up. How old is he? I think
what you get out of Baker this year, no. I think he's got at least one more year on that fifth option because he's a first-round pick. So you could get I don't think he's in his fifth season. There's no way he's in his fifth season.
You'd be surprised. I think he got drafted the same year as Barkley.
He got drafted the same year
as... Yeah, he was the number one overall pick.
He's not in his fifth season.
So Barkley's not coming up on his fifth year?
No, I think it's going into his fifth year, yeah. So you get to extend him... With like the 1 year rookie deal thing.
Yeah, they can tender him for you. In any event, yeah, payday candy bar maybe. Baker Mayfield should get the opposite of a payday. Guys should get deductions. Yes, last night, I believe he was sacked 9 times, which is definitely a reference from Ferris Bueller for all you movie fans out there. 9 times. He got his ass kicked.
I guess you could kind of give him the pass for yesterday because there's really not much anybody can do.
Here's what he went. He went on to say he has one more year. Okay, team option. They picked it up already. All right, well, that could be a thing. Kyle, good morning. But the one thing I will say about this is his post-game interview. Like, you lost the game. You played like shit. You threw picks. You got sacked. You got beat up. His go-to was, well, nobody should question my toughness anymore. Like, I'm in there getting beat up every... No, that's every NFL quarterback.
I'm not surprised.
You're not that guy.
I'm not surprised by anything that Baker Mayfield says that sucks because I don't like him because of the way he
sucks. While I respect Kyle Kerms, who you can visit his VIP picks, kylekerms.com, I respect all his analysis. I read everything word for word, right? And he's talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers run defense being piss poor, giving up like 5 yards a carry, something crazy, right?
Well, they are.
They are. But in my mind, I read that, and I'm sorry, Kyle, but I was like, they still have Baker Mayfield, and he stinks. And this is Ben's last game. The writing is on the wall that this game is not going to go in favor of the Browns. And the Steelers defense, what did I say yesterday? I said that in my prediction. I said the Steelers defense is going to be the reason why they win this game. And it was. They didn't score a lot of points. 26 isn't a lot. One of them was a garbage time touchdown. Yeah, it was
really
touchdown.
Just up front altogether. The offensive line completely dominated the Browns, too. So it was the... defensive and offensive line. TJ Watt.
I mean, dude, 20 and a half sacks.
Definitely passed Miles Garrett in the defensive player.
Yeah, because Parsons had a no-show basically against the Arizona Cardinals. It looks like that conversation is over. But TJ Watt seems to be the front runner and the guy that's going to win this Defensive Player of the Year award. This guy is a monster. What's the sack record as far as Michael Strahan is concerned?
22, 23 and a half.
All right, so he gets 3 sacks next week. He becomes the all-time leader ever. And that's, again, I go back and say, yes, it's in the 17th game, but in reality, he did miss a couple games. So if you want to talk about games played, it is what it is. But
I think that it's going to go to Cooper Kupp.
Sure. Well, let's give it context. Scoop's coming and asking, going into week 18, who wins offensive player of the year? Who wins defensive player of the year? So that, to me, defensive player of the year goes to Watt because of what he just did. And offensive player of the year, I didn't even know that was an award, but I guess.
Yeah, it's like.
I thought that was just MVP.
No, they basically give it to the non quarterback.
It's like the runner up?
Yeah. So it's sometimes it'll be a quarterback.
So then maybe that's where Cooper Kupp or Jonathan Taylor.
I don't think Jonathan Taylor gets it. I think it's Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp has been on another level, like an absolute another level.
He's about to have. He needs like 140 receiving yards to get 2,000.
That's insane. You know what's crazy? The crazier part about this is how wide, like, they have receivers. They had Robert Woods the entire time. He goes down, they get a Beckham. Then they got Van Jefferson on the rise.
Not to mention he's doing it down the stretch in January. Yeah, where kind of Jonathan Taylor, I'm not saying he shit the bed of late, but the Colts have kind of stumbled a little bit.
It's incredible. Incredible. So in any event, the game itself plays the way it plays out because of the fact that, again, Baker looked like he just never played quarterback before. He also, now, this is my statement. Because of the way I've watched Baker Mayfield play football in the last couple weeks, maybe Beckham's dad was right. Maybe Beckham wasn't the problem. Maybe Baker Mayfield just freaking stinks, dude. Maybe Beckham had an idea and said, you know what? I got to get the hell out of here. If I'm going to succeed for the rest of my life in this league, I got to get away from Baker Mayfield.
As far as I saw it, I don't think that was ever in question. That Odell's dad was definitely right that Baker sucks. I just don't agree with the approach.
The approach, yeah, of course. You don't want to call him out on Instagram or whatever. But like, maybe there was something to that nobody wants to play with Baker Mayfield. Again, last night, Jarvis Landry's the guy, Peoples Jones. Shout out to Njoku, who I've always liked, had a beautiful touchdown catch towards the end of that game. I believe that was the last touchdown they scored. But again, it's just, I don't know, man. The Browns, their season's a wrap.
I feel like if you want to point to a coach that could be on the hot seat, it's Stefanski.
Really?
You know, with all the expectations coming into the year, I'm sure they'll give him another go because they did deal with a lot of injuries. But
how do you also not game plan? Like, you knew that the Steelers were no good against the run. Like, and you have a top five back.
4 handoffs to Nick Chubb in the first half when you're facing the most. And at that point, the game was well within reach, so there was no reason for you need to be pitching it around the way they were with Boohoo Baker back there getting chased around. Yeah. I just didn't understand the game plan whatsoever.
So Kyle coming in with a long comment. I guess we're going to get into this in a second. If the Jaguars beat the Colts on Sunday, then both the Raiders and the Chargers make the playoffs with a tie. So I'm parlaying the Jags money line with a Raiders-Chargers tie at plus $21,050 to win $11,000. First of all, we're going to get into that, and I guess Kyle with a segue. But before we get into the playoff picture, I do want to talk about Big Ben. Ben Roethlisberger, love him or hate him, which, again, it's very hot and cold with Big Ben, I think. I think based off of his early years in his career where things were getting, you know, accusations were getting thrown around and charges.
Before that, it started off right out of the gate with multiple titles. So that was the first thing that happened with Big Ben. He was a champion immediately out of the gate. So you're now a legend and young. So that's what happened with Big Ben. But then he crashed his motorcycle, didn't have a helmet on. That was the first thing.
The second thing was... Forgot about that. Yes, the second thing was the alleged, not no charges, bathroom stall incident with a younger woman.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. I think Big Ben's a piece of shit.
Okay, well, that's on you.
So, yes.
Listen, I'm not one of those guys that say, well, if there's no charges, he's okay. Like, obviously, his early years, much like, and I'll compare this, and I don't want to compare it in a way where everybody's like, I can't believe you just said this. But, like, remember when Jeter first came around and he was partying his ass off for, like, the first 2-3 years of his career? And people were like, whoa, what, is this kid ever not going to be in a nightclub? And then finally George said, hey, bro, you're about to be the leader of this New York Yankees club for the next 20 years. Pump the brakes on banging all these girls. Like, do all that.
But
Roethlisberger may have made mistakes.
You should definitely not compare Big Ben to Jeter, but that's all I'll say on that. Because Big Ben
I'm talking about being silly during your youth and maturing and getting better. Last night, there was a scene last night where I saw this guy hugging his three kids and his wife and, like, this whole family. Like, that was to me, that was football. That was everything that it stands for. That was everything that football is supposed to be about, football family. It all goes together. And last night, when you watch Big Ben get teary-eyed in front of Pittsburgh, right, which, by the way, he should have took off his helmet because his mouthpiece or his chin strap got in front of his face and he was a little muffled. But, like, overall, bro, he gets that last touchdown pass, which is, again, Najee Harris, shout out to him. He could have very well slid down and ended the game, right? But he took it to the house, and he gave Ben that last touchdown pass. He celebrated that moment. Big Ben, to me, based off of everything that I've seen, a total body of work, goes down as one of the greats of all time because of everything that he's done. I wrote down his stats of where he compares, right? First of all, he's played 248 games of football. That's a lot of football games, right? So he has endured a lot of shit. He's gotten beat up for his entire life, right, in the NFL. And, of course, his record, ready for this, 164-81-1. Bro, like, that's a lot of wins. And that
fucking tie came to the
this year, which is nuts. His completion percentage, 64% for his career. So that's, again, great, right? 63,384 passing yards, fifth all time on the list. So that's where he stands, and I'm sure people will pass him. He'll probably wind up like 11th or 12th or something like that as some of these kids pass him up, right? 417 touchdown passes. That's eighth all time. That's a lot of touchdown passes. Look at this ratio, 417 to 210. It's almost a 2-1 ratio. It's pretty damn good, right? And then, of course, he gets the Super Bowl win. He beats the Seahawks, then he loses to the Packers, right? Hall of Fame, he's moonwalking.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the fact that he's a Hall of Famer. Is he going to get Vince McMahon to do his Hall of Fame?
Oh, Jesus. What you sent me today, I probably will. I sent it to my boy Greg already. I think it was on
Ghetto Gronk.
Ghetto Gronk. Go look up Ghetto Gronk. It's fantastic. I'm just
going to do it.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Go look up Ghetto Gronk.
Yeah, it's really funny.
So you named all his stats, but you forgot about the one alleged rape.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I read that police report, Dave, and I don't fuck with Big Ben. I just don't. I think he's a great player. I've always said he's a great player, even after the fact, but I just can't, man. I just can't.
Do you think that keeps him out?
No.
So that means. If you look at the Hall of Fame,
it didn't keep him out. Ray Lewis didn't keep him out of the league. It's not going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. I guess if it happened now, he would never have played again. I'm telling you that right now. Like, Deshaun Watson, people want to crucify Deshaun Watson. Nothing ever got improved in court with him, but he hasn't played a snap this year. Big Ben didn't get the same treatment as far as that was concerned. But I guess it was a different time, understandable. But, yeah, I don't like Big Ben. Sorry, Steelers fans. Big Ben's a piece of shit.
Well,
so sorry about ruining the feel-good Big Ben story.
You did. You ruined the whole story. But in any event, Big Ben, great career. I watched it last night with a tear in my eye. All right, I watched it, and I was very excited to see him go out that way in Pittsburgh. They got one more game to play. Now, that game might mean something, okay? Yeah. We segue from Ben to the playoff race because here is your current playoff picture right now on your screen. This is right now updated as of last night, right? So clearly, we'll go over the seeds real quick. Tennessee, we're talking about the AFC first. Tennessee is number one in the AFC right now. The two seed is Kansas City. The three seed right now is the Cincinnati Bengals. The four seed, the Buffalo Bills. The fifth is the New England Patriots. The sixth right now are the Colts. And the seventh seed right now are the Chargers. Going over to the NFC, the Green Bay Packers already clinched the one seed. We all know this. The two seed right now is the LA Rams, a matter of fact. Number three is Tampa Bay. Number four is Dallas. Number five is Arizona, Whoever loses the NFC West is going to be the number five. Number six right now are the San Francisco 49ers. And, of course, those pesky Eagles are number seven. So I look at it like this. There is a lot to kind of digest going into week 18. So right now in the AFC, there technically is four teams vying for two spots, right?
Yeah.
There are clinch, win, and in scenarios right now in the NFL. They've flexed the Chargers and Raiders game to Sunday night. For the winner of that game gets into the playoffs, whether it be seven or six, that's to be determined. All the Colts have to do is beat the Jaguars. But there's some craziness going on around here.
The Colts haven't beaten Jacksonville in Jacksonville since 2015. So as bad as the Jaguars have been and as average as the Colts have been over the last 6 years or so, they haven't gotten it done there. So there is something to be said. They just don't play well in that stadium. And you have to take that into consideration when you're considering this playoff picture here. Because the Jags, this is their Super Bowl, obviously. It's a division game against a team that they typically play well against in a stadium that they always beat them in. I think that there's something to be said. I think Jacksonville has a shot money line wise. And Kyle was talking about it in his...
Now, this is a real thing about the whole tie situation, right?
Yes.
You read this.
Yes. So if
I read it briefly, you went a little deeper.
If the Colts lose, the Raiders and the Chargers, all they have to do is kneel the ball the entire game, and both of them get in and eliminate Pittsburgh. So the Pittsburgh Steelers need them to play the game, which I'm sure they're going to play the game regardless. But if I'm a coach of either of those two teams, do you not approach it? Say the Colts lose, right? And now it's like, all right, it's 7:30.
Now, are they timed correctly?
What do you mean?
Okay, yeah, because they're the Sunday night game.
It's the 8 o'clock.
Holy shit.
What, are they going to go to triple overtime? No, they'll tie at that point already.
So right.
If the Colts lose and you're the Raiders and the Chargers, do you go into this game and you say, screw this, like, I'm not risking anything. Let's just kneel it the entire game. Obviously, you would never see the NFL would explode.
Do I got a Herm Edwards you here and say you play to win the game, right? Like, that's... I understand the logistics of it, but, like, why would you want to do anybody a favor? Why would you be the Raiders and say... You know, we can both get in, or I can say, like, you know what, why don't we just win this goddamn game? We're in the playoffs.
Why would you do anybody the favor is, like, you're doing yourself the favor. You're not getting injured, and you're advancing into the postseason, which is what the goal is. So if you could, it's like an extra bye week, yeah.
Always. I mean, clearly they're not going to take it.
They're not going to do it, but I would maybe proposition the NFL and say, look,
Sunday night
give
would
me
be
some
atrocious.
Incentive. I need some money.
All of a sudden, they flex that game to Sunday night because of the ambiance and what's behind
it. It's almost like the producers with Larry David and Mel Brooks. You ever see the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode? Where you could make more money off of a flop than you can a hit? I think that it would blow up the internet if they actually did that, where so many people would actually be tuned in to be like, wait, is this really actually fucking happening right now? It would be better for ratings, even though the NFL would probably be pissed at it. I think it would work.
Goodell would lose his mind.
Yeah.
He would lose his goddamn mind. Like that, I cannot believe this somehow played itself into a scenario. That's how you know, ladies and gentlemen, that as many of you people want to go out there and be like, well, the NFL is fixed. If it was fixed, they wanted to put the scenario in there.
I do want to say one thing, though, about one team that I do see in this group of four helmets. There was like, I guess it was about 5 weeks ago where Dave was like, Pittsburgh's dead. I said, they're definitely not dead yet. You're like, no, their season's over. And now here we are. It's week 18 and Pittsburgh's helmet's still up there.
Yeah, their helmet's still up there, but come on. They got to win. The Colts got to lose. Like,
You guys said the Raiders were dead too, though.
I didn't say the Raiders were dead.
You said their feel good story was over.
No. My brother said the feel good story was over. I bet on them last week. I know this.
I don't think it was last week. I think that there was a couple weeks ago before the Cleveland game.
I mean, as soon as they beat Dallas, I knew there was life, and that was Thanksgiving.
When the Raiders lost to the Giants, I think we both were in agreement that that team was dead.
Was that before the Dallas game?
That was before they just went on their three game run.
Okay. So maybe I did say
right after the Dallas
game. But then they beat up on Dallas on Thanksgiving, and I said, all right, I want the Raiders to go to the playoffs.
Oh, I want to say that the Raider game was after Thanksgiving. The Giant game? Yeah.
It's possible. I don't know. I don't think so, but in any event, the Raiders are still alive. They win, and they're in. The Chargers win, and they're in. The Colts win, and they're in. The only team that doesn't control anything are the Steelers. They got to win, and then they got to help. Everybody else just kind of shits the bed. But moving on to the NFC. Right now, the spots are kind of locked. The Dallas Cowboys, in a personal rooting interest for me, can move up all the way as high as 2. The only way they do that is if the 49ers beat the Rams and the Carolina Panthers beat the Bucks. And the Cowboys beat the Eagles on Saturday night. Can that all happen? Sure, it can. But then I look at the Cam Newton-led Panthers or Sam Darnold-led Panthers. Whoever is quarterbacking for the Panthers, it doesn't matter. They suck. So therefore, that won't happen. However, the Cowboys can move to 3 with a Rams loss and an Arizona loss. Because if Arizona jumps up, then they'll win the division. And they got the head-to-head over Dallas, too. So then Dallas would just chill at the 4. So the 1-4 are literally going to be the Packers, the Bucks, the Cowboys, and the winner of the West. We all are aware of that. But the loser of the West, the Rams and the Cardinals, will be the 5 seed and will play more than likely the Cowboys, which means we'll probably see another Cowboys-Cardinals matchup if all goes to chalk, which, again, I guess I welcome it. I'll be doing a roundtable tonight if you guys are interested in watching that with Blogging the Boys on their network, on their YouTube. We'll talk all about that tonight if you're interested in that. But the real question is, is it the Niners or is it the Saints? We've talked about this as the Saints potentially being the worst NFL team to ever get into the playoffs because right now they're led by Taysom Hill. Kamara is whatever at this point. Their offense is abysmal. They really didn't do much. They had that game against the Dolphins in which the Dolphins looked like, hey, we could still be around in this thing, and then obviously they just kind of shit the bed as well. But right now, I'm thinking, to me, if I had to make a judgment call, that the Niners will probably take care of business. I take that back. Maybe the Niners do lose, but the Saints also lose to the Falcons.
Yeah, I think that the 49ers do have the Rams number, man. And Shanahan completely dominates McVay in the coaching head-to-head matchup so far in their careers. I really do like San Fran going into that game, but at the same time, it's just tough me seeing that San Fran has won, I think, 5 straight against the Rams. You got to think that they got something up their sleeve eventually, but the way they've been winning the games has been completely dominant. And if you see the way the Rams typically lose when they don't go well, it's they just can't stop the run. At times, they've been completely unable to stop the run at all. It's like they have some talent and they have some games where they'll step up, but the 49ers, they just haven't been able to do that too in the last couple years. And you could tell them what you're going to do when you run the ball the way the 49ers do on the Rams, and it doesn't matter. I'm not breaking down the game because it's not Friday yet, but I do think that the 49ers do have a chance to win that game.
I do, too.
Where is it? It's in San Fran?
I don't know.
I don't know yet.
I think it's actually in L.A.
But do also think that whether they win or they lose, I think the Saints are probably going to lose this game as well. I just don't see the Saints as being able to get over that hump. And Atlanta, their season effectively ended last week, so they kind of know that going into against their most bitter rival, they could end their season as well, and I think that they're going to look to do that. Atlanta will play their ass off. It could be Matt Ryan's last game as a Falcon, so there is that element things as well.
Good point.
We'll talk more about that later, but yeah, I think my gut says the 49ers. I looked at them as a playoff team since out of the gate this year. I don't think it's going
to
change.
I definitely have to go back to me, you, and AJ's predictions now. I want to go back to that episode. I believe it's an Instagram post, unless you deleted it, because I know sometimes you go in there and clean out our Instagram.
I haven't done it in a while.
But I do want to see what we had these records as, just to compare, because I'm definitely curious. But it is what it is. That's it. That's the playoff scenario. Right now, Week 18 has plenty of meaningful football. You know, the NFL is beating us over our head like, it's the biggest NFL season ever. Why?
Beep.
What? Beep. What are you doing?
Beep.
Oh, I get it.
Do you guys know what that sound is?
That yep.
It's the sound of the Dallas Cowboys backing into the playoffs this year. Dina cut me off yesterday because I was trying to do my soft close, and that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I just brought it out.
Do you honestly think that's a thing?
What?
If the Cowboys win on Saturday, that's not backing in.
Yeah, they just lost last week, so they're backing in.
No. If they win this week, they're no longer backing in.
They're not going to win.
They're not going to win. They're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles can't get anywhere else but seven right now.
I think that this is going to be a sloppy game to me.
The Eagles also placed about 44 guys on the COVID list yesterday.
Oh, it's all lining up for the upset, baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's the same Eagles team that you don't want to see the following week, though.
We can't.
Oh, you can't.
No longer can we see the Eagles the following week.
Because you can't get the 2 seed?
Well, we could, but that's, again, the likelihood of that happening are just very, very unlikely. But, yes, if we get the 2 seed, then, yes, we will find the Philadelphia Eagles in the wild card round.
Unless the 49ers lose.
You know what I actually want to happen? Just as a personal vendetta and, like, just against the Eagles. I want the Eagles to get they already at the 7, right? And they're going to play the 2, which it could be the Bucs, could be the Rams, could be the Cardinals. In any event, whoever they play, I want the Eagles to win. I want them to go to Green Bay and get the shit kicked out of them. So then the NFC Championship game could be Dallas and Green Bay. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want the divisional round bullshit. There's no merit to that. For me, that's nothing. I need Dallas to get there and start righting the ship.
I don't want to make it seem like I think that Dallas is the best matchup for Green Bay, because I don't necessarily believe that. I think that they could wreck games with their defense.
Well, all right. So who's your biggest threat? That's a Scoop coming in asking, who is the biggest threat to the Packers right now?
The Chiefs.
No. In the NFC. The Chiefs. This guy just right to the Super Bowl again. Honestly, see, look, I love confidence, but I love being...
I don't think that there's necessarily a bigger threat in the NFC. Like there's several threats in the NFC. I don't think that one stands out to me. I feel like the Rams, the Cowboys are probably like 1 and 1A, but take your pick. But I like our matchups against both.
The thing that drives me nuts, it's an inner battle with me. It's that I have always been this way. Well, maybe not always been this way, but for the most part, I've been this way.
I exude confidence with my Packer fanhood.
Well, that's fine. And I don't... It's like, ultimately, you want to see your friends happy, right? And I do. If Gooch gets to the Super Bowl, right, of course I want the Packers to win the Super Bowl. For him,
my mother
right?
asked me that the other day. She's like, if the Cowboys make it to the Super Bowl over the Packers, would you root for the Cowboys? And I was like, it depends if, like, I like the point spread and I bet on them. But typically, like, when it's all said and done, I'll be happy for Dave if they win.
That's what I'm saying. However, like, I know what this place will feel like if the Packers get bounced. And I know that, like, I know, like, Gooch goes in, not hiding per se, but, like,
I've done better. You saw me last year when they lost the NFC Championship game. It wasn't good for me. But at the same time, you know, you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you get ready for that next NFC Championship loss.
See, that's what I'm saying.
No, that's just a joke. We're winning it. Stop.
All right. Well,
I'm not jinxing anything. The Packers, I didn't curse anything.
The Packers, obviously, look, all roads lead through Lambeau, and if anybody has the advantage at Lambeau, it is the Packers, and I understand that, but I've been saying for 2 months that if I ever want the Cowboys to face the Packers in the playoffs, I want it in Lambeau.
Now,
I've said that. I've been on record.
I've been saying for 6 months, since the draft, when they said Aaron Rodgers was gone, I've been pretty steadfast in my like, everybody calm down, everything is going to be fine. They lost to the Saints. I was like, all right, everyone calm down.
Do you remember that day? There was our draft party. My dad was texting me. He was like, is Gooch okay?
Like, I was like, I was okay. There was like
we were walking around the mall.
There was a little bit of apprehension when Denver was picking, because I was like, this is the one that they're saying it's supposed to be. So there was like a 5-minute period of agita, but then it was really just a kidney stone. It wasn't agita at all,
which I passed
that night around pick 9. So...
It felt like when he shook that, Dina, we didn't know you yet. Or maybe we knew you, but anyway, he showed me his kidney stone. It was in a little ketchup packet thing, and he shook it around like he just lost a tooth. He's like, look at this. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
You still
like,
have it? Did you keep it?
No, I have it somewhere.
What do you mean somewhere? That means somewhere under your pile of clothes in your room,
no,
there's a kidney stone.
It's in a fucking, it's in like a little beaker, like a little science beaker.
God, it's fantastic.
But
Are we going to win? Are we going to win? Are we going to win?
I've been steadfast since day one, since this whole saga with Aaron Rodgers started, all throughout the season with Kyle trolling me and this and Jimmy and everybody saying this. And I just I've been as steady as you could get. And I'm not going to change now that we clinched the one seed. I'm not going to change now all of a sudden that it's been proven to everybody that we are clearly a tier above everybody else.
See, I'm not asking you to change now. I'm asking you to accept the fact that the Packers are susceptible to a certain amount of things. When they had their special teams woes and their defense looked like
100%
shit.
Issues with every single team. But I just think that our Band-Aid to those issues is Aaron Rodgers. And nobody else has that.
That's true. That's true.
And I love our head coach.
There's no argument there.
Our head coach is fucking hotter than yours.
I'm sorry? Pause?
What?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What? Yeah, well, you said it, not me. He's a stud. He's a good-looking dude. He's a good-looking dude. So anyway, with that, we're going to end this bad boy because we got things to do, people to see, places to go, a.k.a. just right here at my desk slaving over the next couple podcasts. So be sure to subscribe to the entire podcast network. But more importantly, if you're watching this right now, hit the subscribe button. If you have already, share it. Let everybody else know that we're probably pretty cool to listen to on the day-to-day as we get into some serious, serious business here. The NFL, it's depressing, and there's no more fantasy football. That's done. Right, that's like strike one.
Well,
strike two will be the regular season.
If anybody wants to get going on, like, it's like for Chop Sports people and people we know, not open to the Twitterverse. But I don't know if Kyle's going to open it up to a group, big group. But if he doesn't, we'll do our own. We'll do our own.
You want to do like a fantasy playoff?
It's not going to be free. There's no giveaways involved. It's going to be like you pay to get in, and
Ben, okay,
and then when you win, you get paid,
Ben. All right. Sounds like a plan. So on behalf of Sturch and Gooch, and of course, Dina behind the glass doing all the graphic work and the production here at Chop Studios, the Flipping Made Easy studio that is in Mattawan, New Jersey. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. Congratulations again to Big Joe LaCorey for your big win. Congratulations to my brother. Get well soon, bro. I say that as if I'm not going to talk to him literally right after this podcast is over. But anyway, have a good day. We'll see you guys on a hump day. That's tomorrow.
And I'm not sure what AJ was talking about like keeping a placenta. Whose placenta? Like, what the fuck?